He gave those children to you means that he knows on the inside that you have everything that you need on the inside to be a perfect mother for your child. And I believe if you believe that, then there's no question about it. Does that mean that you're going to be perfect? Far from it. But I believe with all my heart that you'll have the perfect actions to make sure that those children are raised up the way they should be, because we know that on this side of heaven, everything is imperfect. There's no such thing as a perfect husband or wife or family unit or children. So we live in an imperfect world, but you know what? If we do the best we can, God will take care of the rest. He'll pick up the slack. But I said that to say this. Laura Beth, our little one, was first born, and I told Nikki, I just reassured her, you're going to be a fantastic mom. And she is a fantastic mother. She's done a great job with Laura Beth. But, you know, when Laura Beth was real little, she got old enough to where she could start, framing little words in her mouth, just little sounds and syllables. And I got a big kick out of it, because some of you don't know this, but it's for babies, especially little ones, it's hard for them to enunciate certain words. And so it was really cool for me as a dad, because when she first started talking, Laura Beth, she would say, "Dada, dada, dada." And so her mom would set her up right in front of her face, and she would say, "Now, Laura Beth, say, Mama, Mama, Mama." And she tried that over and over, but Laura Beth would just look at her like this, and she'd say, "Dada." And she'd say, "No, Laura Beth, say Mama." And she'd say, "Dada." I says, "Oh, I like that child of ours." But you know, you're laughing about that. But the funny thing is that once our little girl learned to say Mama, Katie barred the door. It was all over from that time. Because just like that multitask little movie you saw about moms doing all those things, they do all of that and a whole lot more. And I can tell you as a dad that when our little girl needs help, Mama. When she's hungry, Mama. When she's tired, Mama. When she needs encouragement. Not to say I can't give it to you, give it to her rather. But the main thing is that Mama's the one she's the nurturer in our family. She's the one that's there when Laura Beth really needs her to be there. And that's kind of the way it is with you mothers, I mean, I've got a great mother that's in heaven right now. But I can remember when I was little, when I needed help, I called for my dad if he was within sight. But most of the time, Mama came out of my mouth and it came out of my lips, because Mama meant the world to me. And so this Mother's Day, we want to celebrate you mothers. And at the same time, the Lord spoke to my heart and he just gave me a simple word for you mothers that are here today, that this isn't like any type of typical Mother's Service Day that you're going to have. Because first of all, I've never done a Mother's Day service / communion service at the same time. So this is a little different. I said, "Pastor, how do I do that?" And he said, "Well, the Lord will tell you how to do it." So I said, "Okay, so we'll do it." But he gave me a word to give to you mothers this morning about you mothers being mothers of destiny. And, I want to start out by giving you all a song that's usually sung at Christmas time. But tell your neighbor, say, "Rejoice and be glad. Brother Dean will not sing this." Glory to God. I don't want to run you all off before we just get started here. I'm probably more scriptural than most of you, because the word says, "Make a joyful noise." I qualify for that, brother. I can make a noise. Singing, that's a whole different ballgame now. My wife, she can sing. But anyway, the song that the Lord impressed upon my heart to share with you mothers this morning, and it helps for you fathers to hear this too, because you need to try to be a support to the mother. But the words that he just impressed upon my heart was a song we normally sing at Christmas time, or we hear sung. And the words to the song that I'm going to share with you, the lyrics, thank God I'm not going to sing it, but it's the lyrics to the song, "Mary, Did You Know?" And so I'm just going to read the words to you, and I want you to just listen, mothers, to what these words are to this song, because the point of it is this, that all you mothers that are in here, or you young women that are going to be mothers to be, you aren't just normal people on this earth. You have been placed on the earth by God to fulfill a role in life that, by and large, you're going to be the shapers of the destiny of these young children, these young boys and these young girls, the babies the baby boys, the baby girls, the teenagers that are coming up in your household. You mothers are going to be the ones that by and large will have the responsibility of not just nurturing them, but bringing them up with a knowledge in their heart that God has called them to do great and mighty things, and that there on the inside of those children is gifts and talents and anointings and abilities that unless you're really keeping a close ear to the heart of God, that sometimes you'll look right past that and all you'll see is your child in the natural. Because every child that God ever allows to come into the earth, I believe with all my heart, is designed and ordained by God to make a great impact in life in whatever field or what arena of life that He sends them into. And I don't care if it's a doctor or a scientist or a preacher or a teacher or a builder or an architect. God places it on the inside of mothers to have that ability to be able to recognize on the inside of that child that there's more than just a little person that's in front of them there. It's someone that God has placed destiny in their heart and destiny in their life. And unless you really catch a hold of that revelation, you'll just look at your children as ordinary children. May come to church and so forth and so on, but not really seeing the potential that's in them. And the words to this song that's basically speaking to the mothers this day, the lyrics go like this. It says, Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? The child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Oh, Mary, did you know? Oh, Mary, did you know? The blind will see, the deaf will hear, and the dead will rise again. The lame will leap and the dumb will walk. The praises, and they'll speak the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? This sleeping little child you're holding is the great I Am. That is a powerful, powerful, powerful song with a powerful truth and a very profound and powerful revelation. I believe that within every household where these little ones are born, whether you ever realize it or not, even for some of you that haven't yet seen it, as I'm talking to you this morning, you mothers, in your house is scientists, and in your house is entrepreneurs, and in your house is doctors and lawyers and inventors. In your house is preachers and teachers. In your house is people that'll be bankers. They'll be financiers. In your house, mothers, is those little ones that are growing up that God has a tremendous, tremendous plan and future for. But you've got to know that, and you've got to believe that in your heart, that every child that's born into this world is born for greatness. Now, that doesn't mean that your children are perfect, but God has raised them to be great for His kingdom. And I'll tell you what, mothers, if you get a revelation of that, you'll never see your children the same. You know, I'm going to fast forward because I ended the service last time, well, actually the last couple services, by sharing something that my wife was given by her little girl in 2004. It's a plaque or a picture like a lot of you mothers have been given from your children maybe some time back. And it shows a little handprint of how little those little hands are when they're little tiny children growing up in your home. And they either put it on a plaque like this, or they'll put it on maybe some paper or little print. And on the back of this thing, this is what it says. It says, "Sometimes you get discouraged because I am so small, and always leave my fingerprints on the furniture and the walls. But every day I'm growing up, and soon I'll be so tall that all those little handprints will be hard to recall." So here's a special handprint, just so you can say, "This is how my fingers looked when I placed them here today." That was in 2004, and now our girl is going into the ninth grade this fall, and she's gone from a little T90 to almost caught up to her mother now. But the point is that every one of you mothers are mothers of destiny, and your children are children of destiny. God has a destiny for them. In fact, when Jeremiah was a little baby and he was born into the world, he grew up one day and he came to the age where he could be a prophet. And before God got a revelation to him, he spoke to Jeremiah and he said, "Jeremiah, you need to know this, that before you were ever born, when you were being formed in your mother's womb, fearfully and wonderfully made," he said, "even before all that was going on in your mother," he said, "I had a plan for your life, and that plan was for you to be raised up and to be a prophet to the nations." Did you get that? God called him to be a prophet to the nations before he ever breathed one breath. And, you know, in Psalm 139, this is quite a revelation, but if you have a living Bible and you read Psalm 139 in the living Bible, this is a mind-boggling, mind-bending scripture. But in Psalm 139 in the living Bible, the scripture says that every single day of your life has been scheduled out by God himself. And, you know, I think sometimes we miss it because when we read the scriptures, we forget, I really believe it, we forget that when you read the Bible, especially when you get all the way to the end, you know, the book called Revelation that none of us really like to read because of all the types and symbols and trying to make sense out of all of it. But did you know that when you read in the book of Revelation, that's a picture of what has not yet happened, of what is going to be. And God is called the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and he is the end. He knows the beginning from the end of your life and mine. And he says, "I know," in Jeremiah 29:11, he says, "I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans never to harm you, but to give you a hope and to give you a future and to give you an expected end." So God's already got that. That's why he's called the author and the finisher of our faith. That's why the word says, "He that has begun a good work in you." Aren't you glad that he's not done yet? "He that has begun a good work in you, he'll continue to perform it until the day of Christ." It says the Lord will perfect that which concerns you. So as we journey through life, there's always a maturing. There's always a changing and a rearranging. There's always a perfecting that's going on in our life. But one thing, mothers, that you can do that can make a major difference, I'm telling you, a major, major, major difference between what your child can be and should be, can sometimes be light years apart, depending on how you see your child and how you see your responsibility and how you are able to discern what your lot in as a mother is for your child. I believe with all my heart that the Lord gave you those children or that child because he knows that he's put in you the ability to mold and shape that person's character, that child's character, so that all through life they're going to be all they're called to be. Now in John, the first chapter, when it talks about the power of the Word, it says that grace and truth came by the Lord, but it also says that Word is the developer of us. The Bible says, "In him was life, and that life was the light of men." That word light means development. When I learned that years ago with my kids that are growing up, I learned way back then that part of the job that the mother has is not just to give the kids food when they need it and change their diaper. Now, that's all part of it, all necessary. But that's not all that the mother is supposed to do to help that child, to make sure that child in life fulfills their potential and the destiny that God's had before them, before the foundation of the world. And when I found out years ago that He uses His Word to shape their life and make their life be what it's supposed to be, I began to get on that. And so even as Laura Beth, now she's just about 14, she'll be 14 coming up in July, but from the time she was little, when Nikki and I bring her to school every day from where we live over there to over here to the Christian school here on the corner that's about to change, every day when we're driving her down the road and we're holding her little hand, we begin to say as soon as we hit the road, "Thank you, Lord, that our daughter is filled with the life of God. Thank you, Lord, that she's 10 times smarter than any unbelievers. Thank you, Lord, that she has the mind of Christ and the wisdom of God. Thank you, Lord, that great is her peace and undisturbed composure. Thank you, Lord, that our daughter is extremely advanced in every area of our life. She's a major blessing. Thank you, Lord, you bless all the work of her hand, and whichever way she goes, you bless her and prosper her. Thank you, Lord, that whatever she sets her hands to, thank you, Lord, that you bless it and prosper it. Thank you, Lord, that every day, just like Jesus, our daughter is growing in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and with man." And you know, our daughter is going to be, I'm telling you right now, she is going to be and already is a product of our words that we've been speaking over her. And I know that's what not, this message is not all about that, but I'm telling you that you in this house today, in this church house today, you are shapers of the destiny of your children. And that's a powerful revelation, but it's also a powerful responsibility. You know, the Word says to train up your children in the way they should go. Doesn't say the way they always will go, but it says if you train up your children in the way they should go, it says when they're old, they will not depart from it. So it's up to you to make sure that as your children are growing up, you grow them up in the Word. Amen. Listen, you can take them for Banana Sundays all day long. You know, you can take them to the movies all day long, but if you don't make sure that you put the Word in them, you're missing out on something that's very, very profound as far as how far they go in life and the favor that God will show them and the blessings that they'll walk in. You know, you might not realize it, but it makes all the difference in the world what church you go to. It makes the difference between whether you'll live a long life or not. And I'm not trying to scare anybody in here, but it does make a difference where you go to church and where your kids are being taught the Word of God. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, we're not going to talk a lot about that. We've got some more scripture to give. But in Deuteronomy chapter 6, mothers and dads too, but especially mothers today, it says that if you teach your children the Word and talk the Word to your children and put scripture on your walls and give them the Word of God and begin to teach them the principles from the Word of God and talk about God in the morning and talk about God when you're texting each other. You know, these newfangled inventions, you just got to put the Word wherever you can, whether you're Twittering or texting or Facebooking. Keep the Word in there. But it says that if you will put the Word in your young people's hearts as they're growing up, that when they reach maturity, oh, this is so good. It says your children, Deuteronomy 6, I am not making this up. Go back and read your Bible. It says your children will inherit houses that they did not build. Oh, some of you are getting real excited about it. No, it says they will even inherit wells that they did not dig. Glory, that sounds like a good deal to me. You say, how's that going to happen? I don't know. I'm not, you know, I'll be honest with you. I'm not smart enough to figure that out. I don't know how God's going to do it. But I know if we speak the Word and agree with what His Word says, that our kids are going to grow up and they're going to inherit houses that they didn't build and wells that they didn't dig. Can you dig it? Got to get your attention somehow. Glory to Jesus. And then over there in Ephesians 6, It says there that children, honor your parents in the Lord, because this is the first commandment with promise. Number one, that it'll go well with you. And number two, that you'll live long on the earth. And so you need to understand as mothers that if you raise your children up in the ways of the Lord, number one, this is so good, mothers, it'll go well with them. I said it'll go well with them. And number two, if that's not good enough, it says they'll live long on the earth. You know, there's a lot of mothers that, there's probably not a worse tragedy that a mother has to go through than to see a child be gone before they are. Right? It's the truth. But if you bring your children up in the fear and admonition of the Lord, in Ephesians it says, number one, it'll go well with them. And number two, if you bring them up in the fear of the Lord, it says they'll live long on the earth, a good long life. I like that, don't you? Praise God. That's the word. I'm not trying to make this stuff up. I'm just giving it to you like it is. So God entrusts you guys and you mothers to train your children up so that it goes well with them. Now, we said that there's no such thing as perfect parents, but you know what? God does have a perfect plan for your children, and you can raise them up by faith, and that's the way you got to do it, because if sometimes you look at your children, some of the things they say and some of the things they do, it might cause you to get a little bit discouraged. But how many of you know that when God looks at you and me, aren't you glad He never sees us like we are? He sees us like we can be. Glory to God. And He's not done with us. So as mothers, you've always got to make it a point to see the best in your children, speak the best over them, and always train them up by encouraging them and exhorting them in the things of the Lord, because that'll help them to be all that God's called them to be. And then you got to build them up to be I can kids, because it says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Every child should grow up believing they can do anything that God's called them to do, and they can have all God's called them to have, and they can be everything that God has called them to be. They should be raised up that way to believe that. Amen? And listen to me, your children are like building blocks, so always find a way to build them up. Anybody can tear them down, but be different. Build them up. Anybody can see the faults, but be different. Build them up. Amen. Edify them. Be an encourager to them. And that way your children will grow up to be all that they're supposed to be. And you know what? If you major on bragging on the good in your kids, guess what? When they grow up, they're not going to be looking for faults and failures all around them, but they're going to be looking for the good. Aren't you glad that God's always mining for gold? He's always looking for diamonds in the rough. Glory to God. And any diamond that ends up being a diamond, it didn't start out that way. It had all kinds of stuff on the outside that had to be polished out and chipped out. And that's the way we are. The several examples that I want to give you real quick this morning as far as shaping the destiny of your kids. The first one that I thought of was found in 1 Samuel chapter 1. And that's where Hannah gave birth to Samuel. You know, it says in 1 Samuel chapter 3, that when Samuel came here into the earth, it says there was no open vision. That simply means that in the day that Samuel lived in, I don't know what those people were doing, because in the day that Samuel lived, it's hard to imagine, folks, but in the day that Samuel lived, there was no open vision, which means there was no revelation of God. There was no knowledge of God. There was nobody that could hear from God. And I don't think that Hannah really realized it when she was going to the temple. You all know the story. She was going into the temple and she kept crying out to the Lord and saying, Lord, I just want to be a mama. I want to be a mother. I haven't been a mother, but I want to be a mother. And when Eli came in there to talk to her, he said, Lady, are you drunk? Because she had her head down, her countenance was sad, and it looked like she was kind of mumbling to herself. And Eli looked at her and he says, Are you drunk? What's with you? And she said, Oh, no, sir, I'm just crying out to the Lord. And right before that, it made the statement that she said, Lord, if you give me a child, I will give that child right back to you. And when she gave that child back to the Lord in her heart, she had that child in the natural. And you know the story, when he was a little bitty baby, she brought him over there and she gave him to the prophet. Well, the prophet didn't raise his two boys right. They were some characters. But you know what? I'll tell you what, Samuel loved God, and from an early age, he had it in his heart to worship the Lord and to minister to the Lord. And it was because of that relationship that he had in him that God saw him as such a special little guy that God started trying to talk to him at night. And you all know the story. He's lying in bed, and God's trying to talk to him. And he gets up and walks in there to Eli, and he says, "Eli, are you talking to me?" And he said, "Shut up, boy, I'm trying to sleep. Get back to bed." And this happened twice, and finally he says, "This has got to be God." Well, revelation from the prophet. So he says, "The next time you hear that voice, just go back and just say, 'Lord, I'm your servant, speak to me.'" So we know the story. He went back, and the Lord began to speak to Samuel, and he told Samuel about the lot that Eli and his kids were going to have, and he was really afraid to tell them. But he was getting revelation from God when he was a little teenage boy. Why was that? Because his mom realized that when she gave that little one to God, that she put it in his heart and spoke the word over him that this child is going to be given to you. He's not just going to be given to you. He's going to be given to you. And there's a big difference. And that guy became a prophet of God that anointed kings and rulers and leaders and shaped the nation to where when people wanted to know what to do, they would come to Samuel because Samuel knew how to hear from God when nobody else did. And the word says that Samuel knew God in such a way that none of his words fell to the ground, that everything that Samuel said would come to pass. You could mark it down. You could put it in the bank. Everything Samuel said would come to pass. And then you fast forward a little bit, and you talk about Moses. And Moses is talked about, his coming into the world, is found in Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And the story of Moses is that the children of Israel, for over 400 years, they were in bondage. And they were being abused and misused and treated really, really bad, and God got fed up with it. But for all those years, no one was raised up to be a deliverer. God had nobody that he could count on to be raised up to deliver the children of Israel. And so Jochebed, that's the mother of Moses, she became pregnant and gave birth to Moses, not only that, but to Miriam, who was a minstrel to the Lord, not only that, but to his brother Aaron, who was a mouthpiece to the Lord. But the Lord came on Moses. And when Moses was born, even as a little bitty baby, this is amazing, folks. The Bible says when Moses' mom, Jochebed, looked at Moses, she saw that he was fair. She saw something different about this little. She said, "I don't know what it is, but there's something about this boy that's awesome. I don't know what it is, but I know this boy is special." And you know the story that these Israeli women were having babies so fast and so rapidly that Egypt was always, they were always intimidated by the children of Israel. So the word went out, if it's a boy, take him out. If it's a girl, they can go ahead and leave him. But Moses' mom had enough faith in God, even though she could have been killed if that baby was found, that she kept raising that little guy. And when he got to be about 4 months old, she came to the end of her ropes and she said, "I can't hide this little guy anymore because he's just making too much noise and he's too lively and he's getting around too much." So she did the only thing she could do. She lifted up her little guy to the Lord and she said, "Now, Father, I've raised Moses, this little one you've given me, and I've done all that I know to do for this little fella. But I know that he's making so much noise now that he's liable to get killed and me too. So, Lord, the only thing I know to do as his mother," this is tough. Think about it for a mother. This is tough. But she says, "I'm going to give this child to you, God." And the word says she put little Moses in an ark. Now, we say basket, but if you look at it in the word, it's an ark, which means a place of safety. That's when you place your children in the hands of God, that's a safe place for them to be. People in the world, they got it wrong. They think, you know, the thing to do is make them a good athlete. Let them go to all these worldly shows and entertainment. No, that won't give them what they need. They need the Word of God. So, this little guy is in the ark, and I like how Shambach says it. He said, "God is always going to set your children up when you give them to the Lord." So he says, "I believe it happened like this." He said, "I believe on the day that Moses was placed in that little ark, down there by the bulrushes, that the Holy Spirit of God was watching the whole thing. And when Moses was placed in that little ark and put there by the bulrushes, he said, I believe the Spirit of God saw that little basket and he went, and on that last little blow he took, that little ark went right into the bulrushes. And who do you suppose shows up? Pharaoh's daughter. And she saw that that child was a Hebrew child, but she thought that there's something different about this little guy. She says, he needs to be raised up. So she went and got her little servant, said, I want you to make sure that you find someone that can take care of this little baby, and you raise it up for me, and I'll pay whoever it is good money. And that baby was brought right back to its mother. And she got to feed that little baby on her breast and raise him up to fear and love and honor God. And this little guy that was placed in a basket had such a destiny on his life that you know the rest of the story. This little guy that she put in the basket that she gave to the Lord, that the Lord blew to the lady, back to her again. This little child grew up to be Moses, who delivered between 2 and 3 million people. I said he delivered between 2 and 3 million people. Little Moses, the little baby that was in her household. And you are mothers of destiny today. You say, well, I don't know that I could have a Moses. Well, maybe you never will have someone like a Moses. But you might have a scientist who will come up with an invention. Or you might have a doctor or somebody that's dealing in the science realm that'll come up with a cure that needs to be unleashed in this world. Did you know that the Bible says that God gives the knowledge of witty inventions? Did you know that long before the computer age was here, God knew it was going to be here? Did you know that long before iPods came along, God knew there would be iPods, iPads, and all those other kind of deals that these guys come up with? He knew all that before we ever breathed the breath on this planet. He knew all that. It was all in his plan. And the reason why I say that is because in your future, I'm telling you, some of you that are in here, in your house, right now as I'm preaching to you, in your house, you have scientists. And in your house, you have doctors. And in your house, you have entrepreneurs, and in your house, you've got people that are going to fund the gospel. And in your house, you've got pastors and teachers. And in your house, you've got people that are going to be inventors and scientists that are going to unlock medical science secrets that are going to bless the world. That's what you've got in your house. You've got destiny in your house. And the word says that eye hasn't seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. It says, but God will reveal them all to us. How? By his Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, you've got some great young'uns in your house this morning. You got to see that. I'm not going to take a lot of time, but you know, when you fast forward into the New Testament, it talks about Elizabeth having little John. She didn't realize when she had little John that he was going to be a prophet, that he was going to be a voice of one crying in the wilderness, preparing the way of the Lord. She didn't know that. But she knew that this baby was her baby, and she did all that she knew to do to make sure that that baby would love and honor God. And she must have done something right. See, this is sometimes where we miss it. We hear about Elijah, and we hear about Elijah, and we hear about Matthew and Mark and Luke and John and Peter. And James, we learn about all these Bible characters. But I got something to ask you this morning. What did mother have to do with it? Mother helped John be who John was. Mother helped Elijah be who Elijah was. Mother helped Peter be who Peter was. Mother helped Jesus be who Jesus was. See, when Jesus was a little boy, we know that he wasn't perfect. You remember the story where they went into Jerusalem to worship just like they always did. And when they were done worshiping the Lord and spending their time there, they went back out of the city and they were a couple of days out and they looked around the camp and they were looking for Jesus and he was nowhere to be found. So they said, we got to go back and find that boy. They went back to Jerusalem. They looked from pillar to post, looking all over to try to find that boy. They looked at the soccer field. He wasn't there. They went to the fishing hole, figuring he's certainly going to be there fishing. No, he wasn't there. Where was he? He was in the temple. How did he learn to be in the temple? Mother. He was talking to doctors and people that were learned in the letters of the law. And he was asking them questions that they could not answer. And he was giving answers to them of their questions that they did not know. And he was 12 years old when all this was going on. Just a 12-year-old boy. How did he get that way? Mother. I know the dad influenced him, but mother had a hand in how Jesus ended up. And then later on, you know, the story when they went back out and his mother was kind of saying, what's your problem, boy? You know, you're supposed to be with us. And as a young kid, he says, don't you realize that I got to be about my father's business? How'd he learn that? Mother. And it says that when he went back home, it says about Jesus that he grew in wisdom, he grew in stature, and he grew in favor with God and with man. How did he do that? Mother. Amen. Now, you dads, don't feel bad. I'm a dad too. But this is Mother's Day. I'm telling you that mothers are primarily the ones that are going to shape the destiny of our young ones that are coming up. Mothers of destiny. And we won't take a lot of time here, but we know that Timothy was raised up by Lois, who was the mother of Eunice. And it was said about them that he was raised up in unfeigned faith. Well, how did he learn that unfeigned faith? Through grandma and mama. Amen? So I'm just going to tell you mothers this morning that you are mothers of destiny. And what you got to do is do your best and leave the rest up to God. Your kids are not perfect. They never will be. And they are not perfect, but God has ordained for them to be great. And if you think that your children are called to be anything less than great, you need to get your mind renewed. You say, how can you say that? Because the original man was made in the image and likeness of God. Amen? And when you're born again, what spirit do you have in you? You have the Spirit of God in you. You're the temple of God. And when you got God in you, what are your limits? There are no limits. What are your possibilities? All possibilities are in Him. So we have to raise our children. And mothers, we got to raise those children up to where they believe they can do anything. And if you believe they can do anything, when they grow up, you know what? They'll do it. They'll shine in every arena of life. God is no respecter of persons. Every day when you mothers get up, you just speak the word over those kids and say, thank you, Lord, that this is the day you've made. We are going to rejoice and be glad in it. My child is a winner. She's going to win all day. He's going to win all day today. When they go to bed tonight, they're going to put their head down on their pillow and they've won all day long because they walk in victory. They walk in success. They walk in wisdom and knowledge and understanding and favor and supernatural provision. Glory to God. Mothers, are you catching on to this? No ordinary life for us or our kids. No ordinary life. So you do your best and leave the rest up to God because destiny is in the hands of your children. Amen? Amen. Now I'm going to ask our guys to come up. We're going to receive communion now. We can't do Mother's Day without having communion together. Because, you know, I can remember as a kid when we had family reunions or gatherings that if I looked around at all the other stuff that's going on, there's one thing that I could always see is that when you look at family gatherings, and it doesn't matter if it's Christmas or Easter or picnics or whatever, the highlight for the mothers is 99% of the time when all the family comes together and they're around the table. That's when you look at the mothers and they're smiling because that's a time when they can see all the family that are together with them. And I'll tell you what, it's a powerful thing. And as these guys are handing out the communion elements, I want you to just search your hearts today and let the Lord minister to your heart. Listen, I don't want anybody here to get under condemnation if you've made mistakes with your children. Through the years, I've had parents that have had children that are already out the door and they're grown-ups and they've made their share of mistakes just like we all have. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the parents will say something like, well, I just feel like I've been a failure. I've failed my kids. I haven't really done all that I could do. Well, the thing to remember is that nobody's perfect. And another thing to remember is this. When I look at the parents, I just tell them, are you still praying? Oh, yeah. Still reading your word? Mm-hmm. Are you going to church? Oh, yes, sir, I'm going to church. Have you been doing that regularly and consistently? Yes. Then I look at them and say, have you given your kids to the Lord? Have you cast all your care over on the Lord about them? And they say yes. I said, well, just keep doing what you're doing. I said it in the last service, and I'm going to say it to all of you that are here, and I don't care how old you are as a parent or how young you are as a parent or a sibling. Don't ever forget this. You as a child of God, the Bible says that your seed is blessed after you. And I don't care if your child has made a million mistakes. You just keep saying, Father, your word says that my seed is blessed after me. So thank you, Lord. I say my seed is blessed. What if they're making mistakes? I say my seed is blessed. What if they're not living right? I say my seed is blessed. What if they've made all kinds of terrible moves in life? I say my seed is blessed after me. Jesus is called the high priest of our profession or confession. The word says, let us hold fast to saying the same thing. And it also tells you, mothers, be not weary in well-doing, because in due season you're going to reap. Why? Because you don't quit. You don't faint. You don't give up. So what are you supposed to say about your children? Well, they're your seed. My seed is blessed after me. How are they blessed? Well, that's up to God. Don't you know that God knows how to bless your kids? Sure He does. So don't be discouraged if you feel like you've blown it with your kids that are growing up and out of the nest. Just start claiming the promise of God and say, thank you, Lord, I'm doing all I know to do. I'm following hard after you. I'm giving my kids to you. And I say my seed is blessed after me. And you know what? When you say that and believe it, it's going to be so, because God watches over His word to make it good. Amen? We're going to worship the Lord just for a minute. While you're receiving these communion elements, just take the time to search your own heart. And if there's any adjustments to be made, just go ahead and do it. And forgive yourself by faith, because when you ask the Lord to forgive you, He takes your sins and casts them into the sea of forgetfulness. And the word says, your sins and iniquities He will remember no more. There's one place that God wants you to be in this life. He wants you to walk without any sense of guilt or condemnation or inferiority. There's only one way you can do that, and that is to forgive yourself by faith. Forget your feelings. Your feelings will lie to you. Your feelings will try to tell you you're not forgiven. Don't believe your feelings. Believe the Word of God. He says in 1 John 1:9 that when you confess your sins, the Greek word for sin means hamartia. It simply means you're shooting at a target, but you're not quite hitting the bullseye. You're just a little off. That's what hamartia means, missing the mark. But He says when you confess your sins, that God is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins where you missed the mark. And it says that He will cleanse you, wash your heart clean and pure from all guilt, all shame, all sense of inferiority, and all condemnation. He'll wash you free and clear of that. So according to the Word, He has forgiven you. But then you got to take another step and just say, Lord, I've done my part. You said You've forgiven me. So now, this is going to help some of you. So now, by faith, I forgive myself. You say, why is that important? Because if you can't forgive yourself by faith, your feelings will trip you up every time. And the enemy is called the accuser of the brethren. So he's really good about reminding you of your past. So when you ask the Lord to forgive you, it's a done deal. He's done it. He says, as far as the east is from the west, I have removed all your transgressions from you. And your sins and iniquities are in the sea of forgetfulness, and I won't remember them anymore. Isn't that wonderful? So we're going to get around the Lord's table today, and this is going to be a special time, and we'll receive our communion elements in a minute. Go ahead and sing, gang.